Welcome, everyone.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome. We'll get started in just a couple of minutes. We're not quite at quorum yet.
Just a question, Chris. This is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Just on the Kanban board. Do you clean off the ones that are finished after a while, or?
Yeah, I have an automated script that goes through and cleans everything off that's done after a couple of weeks.
Okay.
It gives me just references to the old ones while I'm writing up my notes. So everything in the done column will disappear. I can't remember, after 2 weeks or so. And then the in progress is what we use for our meeting agenda.
No, exactly. No, I had the same issue in the SecCom.
In the Kanban board setup, you can program done to have a date filter.
Okay. Cool. Just looking at copying with pride.
Sure. Yeah, by all means. We'll get started in a couple of minutes. Do a quick review of agenda for today. First, Gil signed up to do external controllers, and then Parviz is going to give us a Tiger Team update on microservices. This has been carried over for a couple of weeks. And then we'll spend some time reviewing the agenda for the face-to-face, making any updates. And if people want to sign up for slots, this would be the time. Okay, and with that, it looks like we have enough people. Gil, do you want to kick us off with your presentation? Great, thank you.
Sure, I can do that. All right. Let me know when you can see my desktop.
Yes, I see it.
Okay. Okay, so we've been doing some thinking in terms of external controllers. What is an external controller? How do they relate to ONAP? And this is a proposal. First off, what's the motivation? Some service providers may want to leverage an alternative to an ONAP controller for some subset of VNFs. For example, there may be some VNFs that come with their own controller that the service provider wants to use, or there may be some VNFs that leverage capabilities or that have function management needs, controller needs, that the corresponding ONAP model, the SDC model which drives the ONAP controller, does not yet support. And so we recognize that there can be a need for a service provider to have this flexibility, and we need a flexible approach that allows ONAP service providers to easily customize their ONAP instance to integrate external controllers as needed. However, we want to make sure that when we do this, when someone plugs in an external controller, that we allow this flexibility in such a way that it doesn't add a lot of complexity to the ONAP architecture. So this is a proposal for that. I don't think there's anything really controversial in the proposal, but let's see. So first off, ONAP can certainly support external components being plugged in, right? Like a VNF manager. There's no technical reason why ONAP couldn't support, you know, something else being plugged in, an external controller, for instance. And I guess first off, a caveat. We would not be promoting, AT&T would not be promoting the use of external controllers. We would try very hard to avoid the use of them, because our first preference should be if someone believes that there is a need for an external controller, let's say because the VNF has needs that aren't supported by the model-driven ONAP controllers, the first preference should be to fill the gap for the VNF vendor to contribute the needed capabilities to the ONAP common controller SDK to fill the functional gaps, which would eliminate the need for the external controller, right? The VNF would be managed by the ONAP controller.
Just a question for clarification,
sure.
Gil, if I may. I think I understand what you're saying in terms of in the case of VNFs, but if you're talking about network control, network infrastructure controller is something that controls the WAN or something like that, where it comes with their own one. Do you classify that differently? Because the title of this is quite broad.
So a WAN controller, I view the WAN as a resource. And you're asking what is a controller, right? So on a subsequent slide, I think of a controller as something that manages resources, and that's really going to be the most controversial part of this deck, I think, is what is an ONAP controller. So I think of resources as being services being decomposed into resources being VNFs or PNFs or allotteds, which are network functions or networks, like a WAN. So and I think of controllers as being resource focused. So yeah, I would include a WAN controller.
But then there's business reasons why you might not be incorporated then into ONAP.
That's right. Yeah. So there's other options besides the first preference.
Okay.
In case the vendor is not willing or is not able to do this, or the service provider doesn't want to do this, then we would go on to the next preference, right? The next preference, if it's a green field, if the controller doesn't yet exist and needs to be built, then you know there's nothing to stop a vendor from downloading ONAP using the ONAP CC SDK to create the base for their external controller, get 80% of the functionality they need out of it, and add their secret sauce to it. That may not apply for a WAN controller either. Right.
So, just a little clarification here. Where you're saying the preferences? These are the AT&T preferences. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because we had last week the OSAM team come in, and it sounds like they're one way to look at OSAM is as a controller that may in the future want to plug in this way as well.
That's right. Yep, that's right. So we need to, so from AT&T's perspective, we should apply this to all controllers. This order of preferences, right? So there may be lots of reasons why we cannot do our first or second preference and go with our third, right? For specific cases. But in general, I think this is the order of preference that we AT&T would see. The third being a custom built external controller. Now for the meat of this, if that answers your question, Chris.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, so to avoid... Go ahead. Now.
Excuse me. Yeah, this is Boris speaking from the OSAM team. So this is very good study, and we really would like to benefit from this in the future. My question is, will that also be good for a core and edge cloud architecture?
I wouldn't see why not. Yes, I would not see why not. So I think some controllers might live at the edge and some controllers might live at the core. And those might be different instances of the same controller type. And we need to deal with a federated ONAP. We need to be able to solve that problem. And however we solve that, however we solve the problem of SO finding the right controller instance with which to interact with, or the rest of ONAP finding the right controller instance with which to interact with, yeah. I would think external controllers would fall into that same framework.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Hey, Gil, this is Shakar. So, hey, Shakar. So I'm trying. How are you?
Doing so, okay.
Okay, thanks.
Depends
I'm
on your question.
Understand. Yeah. I'm trying to understand if the. I'm trying to understand in the framework within the ONAP framework. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't ONAP care about a controller framework?
Why would it care? You're asking could ONAP distinguish between the second preference and the third? I think it could not. If that's what you're asking.
Yeah, and nor should it care, right?
It should not care. We as ONAP, so why would I even include a second preference, right? So mm-hmm. The service provider is going to be straddled with having to test this controller. Mm-hmm. So the vendor is going to show up with a controller and say, "Hey, look, this meets the functional needs of a regular ONAP controller. Plug it in," because that's really going to be the gist, right? Plug it in here. And the service provider is going to have to test it to make sure it meets all the security needs of a ONAP controller, etc. It would be much easier for the service provider to do that. Or one would think that the vendor, the controller vendor, would have gotten it right, be more likely to get it right if they would have started with ONAP as a base.
No, I understand. But it seems to me that the controller framework should follow something similar to the VNF SDK, where you have a framework, you advertise it,
make sure
that all the vendors
That's right.
basically adhere to the guidelines, but how the controller is implemented, it's up to the vendor. You leave it up to the vendor as long as they meet certain criteria, like similar to what we do with VNF and SDK, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Go ahead. Does it mean, or would a different approach be that we provide, as a community, we provide a guidelines in terms of how the controller should be developed, and then we leave it up to the implementers to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think what you're pointing out is the real gist of this, Gil, is the last bullet. Mm-hmm. So let's get there. I agree with you. The real gist is the last bullet. The second is really sort of a soft statement, you know. We're all trying to make ONAP better. The better it will be is if people use it more and help us to fix what needs to be fixed of it, et cetera, and fill in the gaps. And so, but you're right. The second preference would be invisible to ONAP because really all that's needed is this last bullet.
Okay.
Well, let's get to the third and fourth as well before we get to the last. So the proposal is, the general proposal, the high-level proposal is to avoid complexity of the architecture, ONAP, well, really the fifth one. ONAP should only provide adaptation to plug in external components that are of a class that exhibit well-defined functionality and APIs. So that's probably there's probably a better way to say that in English. I don't know, but for example, ONAP can support a VNFM adapter because the VNFM meets an ETSI standard, and so we can build an adapter in ONAP, and say, hey, plug in your VNFM here to our adapter because we know what's on the south side of that adapter is a VNFM, which meets a well-defined standard. There exists no such well-defined specification for a controller. What is a controller? The last part of this deck is going to be asking the question, what is an ONAP controller? But what is a controller? I don't know of an industry specification for that. So what is a controller? We would consider the ONAP controller itself to be the de facto standard of what's a controller, including an external controller. So, Gil,
this is Raghu. Why specification for a controller? From the previous bullet, mm-hmm. What I would be interested in is specification for the APIs. I really don't care whether the controller inside is supersonic pigeons.
No, that's true. You're right. So from the outside, by what is a controller, I don't mean what is it made of or how is it built. I mean, what does it look like from the outside?
And that's the APIs. So maybe, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's the APIs. It is. So
meaning APIs for a variety of quote-unquote services that controllers are, controller services that it supports, right?
Maybe it is just the APIs. Maybe I think in the terms of the APIs, maybe this is belts and suspenders. I don't know, right? But I've got down here, it's the APIs and the functionality.
Yeah, I agree with Raghu's point on that, definitely we want to specify the APIs, but the functionality we may want to leave to vendor imagination to some extent. If someone comes up with a new type, an IoT controller or an SD-WAN controller that doesn't exactly exist in ONAP today, we may want to have a way to attach those as well.
Yeah, and an example that I could think of, for example, if I am ONAP, my questions would be, what kind of quote-unquote controller services I need from that external thingy? I would want an inventory of that controller domain, some type of service, those kinds of, if we can outline those services and say, meet that.
That's right. That's right.
And we're golden, right? Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. So certainly. So I am not opposed to that. The reason I put functionality in here as well is I wasn't quite sure if part of what a controller does is protect the rest of ONAP from a malicious VNF. Right? Is that an API that I can specify, or I don't know. If a VNF starts sending, I'm not really quite sure.
Sure. That's a good example. And there would be, so one of the things that industry has not talked about is we have talked about lots of API services, meaning functionality exposed, mm-hmm. but we have not addressed quote unquote performance on that API, meaning, hey, you can't send me a boatload of images, messages within per second or something like that, right? So some of those concerns that you expressed should be captured as part of quote unquote requirements on those APIs being defined. Okay. And therefore, the controller is requested. There's an SLS, if you will, right?
Okay, then I'm okay
so,
then.
So yeah, so sorry, Gil. So I agree with Doug's comments, right? I mean, what I'm trying to understand though, right? What I'm trying to understand is if we want to make the controller or the framework that we're trying to create for the controller is similar to a device driver, mm-hmm. right? Where you have a well-defined API with flow controls, right? Because you have to make sure that you don't overflood the device driver. So you have flow control between the two. Mm-hmm. And then you have an exposed API to the OS, and then whatever the controller, whatever device wants to do, that's fine. In very rare cases, it crashes the OS, and we need to protect for it. But for, if I look at the controller and what you're proposing, it's similar to creating a device driver and having the correct framework around the around that notion.
Yeah, I think so. I'm I'm good with that. I will edit this to include in the API everything. I will update my understanding of the API to include everything that the controller is expected to do from the outside.
Okay.
And with that, I can just eliminate functionality. Go ahead, Steve.
Another question. At some high level, and I think you're sort of heading down with this to sort of say, okay, let's plug the interface of the controller that's directly facing those resources into, for example, SO or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there is the other model, which is the kind of controller of controllers.
Right.
And is the difference, I'm trying to understand the difference a little bit between them. Is the difference that when you have a controller of controllers, well, whatever that sort of lower level controller is, which could be anything really, that in that case, you're not really, OWNAP's not really aware of the underlying resources. He just sort of sees the services that's provided. But when you actually plug a controller in, you actually are aware of the resources and the inventory there, and that will be reported into the inventory. So that will be one requirement, for example, on the controller.
That's right. Yeah. So you're right. So a controller of controllers, if one were to plug in, well, one can always plug in a controller of controllers, right? OWNAP would not know it's a controller of controllers, which is, I think, the recent ONOS proposal, right? Where ONAP thinks it's a PNF, it manages it a PNF, but the controller really understands that it's more than that and manages it. That's sort of like the controller of controllers model, yeah. I think.
That's the same with the WAN model as well, right? So,
yes, that's true. I mean, to ONAP, it looks like one resource, the WAN does, but the controller of controllers, if you will, knows that it really consists of many, many endpoints, PEs, et cetera, yeah. Physical PEs. So yeah, so I think this supports that. But it does, like you said, it plugs directly into ONAP. And
hey, Gail.
Go ahead.
Gail, hi. This is Parviz.
Hey, Parviz.
Sorry, I'm a bit a few minutes late. Do you have a set of functions that you listed for the controller?
Yes. Do you have it? That's going to be the hard. Okay. That's going to be the hard part to define, right? Because where this is going, right, is that so Gil's thesis is that a controller. We should define what a controller is in terms of its APIs. We should define what's expected of it from ONAP's perspective and then allow other controllers to be plugged in, external controllers to be plugged in directly into ONAP. But that in order for that to work, it requires us to define what are those controller APIs.
No, regardless, but let's not worry about the name. Let's call it Pineapple. This Pineapple should really perform a set of functions. And as long as those functions are non-overlapping in regard to the existing controller functions that are available to ONAP, do you have in your presentation to show the key functions that you expect this new entity perform, whether you call it controller or anything else? Those
I do call
functions
it,
are very...
I do call it controller, and yes, I do.
Yeah, but do you have those functions listed here, or I missed it?
No, we haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay.
I interrupted with a question on the second page, so I didn't allow him to.
You didn't miss much, Parviz.
Okay, sure.
Sorry, Gil.
And Gil, if somebody else wants to ask a question, I can wait. Okay, and just to clarify, Gil, when you say in the first bullet, ONAP, external components being plugged in to what? Into the microservice bus or directly into as a child of an existing SDNC or AppC? Is that
yes, microservices bus.
Well, again, we can really move fast if we see the set of functions.
Gil,
question. I think maybe Parviz, you ask an interesting question, right? So if we have decomposed our controllers into a set of microservices, right? I'm still thinking that even if the controller is nothing but a bunch of microservices, and the same is true as SO and multivim, et cetera, if all of ONAP is nothing more than a set of microservices, I'm still thinking that there is a controller API among all that. And that I think what you're really asking is, if First off, I guess I have a question to the team. Is that the right understanding, that there still is something called a controller, which is a collection of microservices which act together to perform the controller function into the outside world? This collection of microservices has an API, which can be described. And if someone were to build an external controller and
so I'm to understand, this is actually a comment directed towards from you, Provisto, is are you looking for...
You're breaking,
Hey, Yael, can you hear me now? Yeah, thank you. So, Provisto, I'm trying to understand, are you suggesting that the controller itself should be some guidelines or standards in terms of how the controller functions?
No, guidelines, no standards. A set of functions that are new to ONAP that we can collectively put the functionality together and say this is a non-overlapping function given the existing ONAP architecture. And then you call it whatever Gil wants to call it, external controller or anything else.
But I think we should leave it up to the yes. implementer, right, to decide whether they want to reuse something that exists in ONAP or whether they want to create their own controller.
No. It's Gil was leading to having ONAP as a collection of microservices, which today, if you deploy those collection of microservices, you're talking about Kubernetes and OOM. If there's something else, then could you clarify that, Gil?
I think we're talking past each other, though, right? So there is, and this is critical, right? Having a controller that is implemented with a set of microservices where the API can be a microservice and all the functionalities within the controller are individual microservices is different than making the ONAP platform microservices based.
That's two different view. I understand that. But if we can get a short list of the functions that Gil is defining.
Yeah, we'll get there. So Parviz, let me get to the next, let me get to the further. So I understand that, but is your comment that no, we should not have vendors swap out an ONAP controller for an external controller? We should be thinking of vendors swapping out individual microservices of a controller for their own microservices. Is that what you're proposing?
I'm not proposing. I'm just getting the clarification. Okay. If you're defining this controller, you call it external controller, correct?
That's
so
right.
The external controller, are you going to really take the existing ONAP, a subset of all ONAP components, and have those components to behave in a manner that is controlled by this new entity? And that new entity doesn't share any functionality with the existing SDNC, AppC, or SO, or any other existing function.
No, when I say ONAP, okay, yeah, I understand your confusion. I use the term ONAP controller. Okay, that's confusing. Okay, so by ONAP controller, we typically mean the thing that controls ONAP. And that's not what I mean here. So I've used a very confusing term.
Yeah.
By ONAP controller, what I'm referring to is the component of ONAP, like SDNC or generic network function controller, that is controlling network functions and networks. That's what I mean by an ONAP controller. So when I say, you know, plug in an external controller, I mean plug it in on the south side of ONAP, not above ONAP.
That already exists today. We have the hierarchy of the controller. The SDNC is the global controller, as we all know. And then this downstream controllers that are plugged into SDNC is so-called either a third-party controller or a domain controller, which in ONAP's implementation today, those are proprietary implementations that are attached to ONAP using this so-called the configuration node, the DG, within the SDNC. So that tool is already available to ONAP. You see that, yeah, in the picture. The third-party controller.
I see third-party controller, and it's but this picture doesn't show, doesn't say where it plugs in. It just says it sits below. This picture does. My proposal is that so let's stop using the term third-party controller. I know what a VNF manager is. There's a spec for that, right? I'm not quite sure what an EMS is. We'll address that one separately. I don't know what a third-party controller is. My proposal is that we change our architecture slide to rename that thing an external controller and show that it plugs into ONAP into the same way that the other controllers plug in.
Again, isn't there two models that we need to consider, and I think both are valid? One is where you have, for example, the SDN controller connected up to the external controller or something like that. So that's the controller controllers, that particular case. And in which case, ONAP isn't aware of the resources underneath. That's like the OSAM case that was discussed previously and it's like WAN and so on there. Please. And there is the other case where you're describing it like this, where the difference is that ONAP would now be aware of the resources, I presume.
Well, no, because like OSAM case could be the external controller. So if I plugged in a third party domain controller to the SDN controller, then ONAP is aware of the. Well, I guess what is the model at that point? Is ONAP aware of the resources because the SDN controller is part of ONAP? So in order for ONAP, SDN controller.
Yeah, but that's the case where you're plugging SDN controller into another controller, that's because there's already a controller for that WAN.
Wait, would you plug in the SDN controller underneath another controller or plug in another controller underneath the SDN controller?
The latter, plugging another controller underneath the SDN controller.
So then how would SDN controller manage that? How would SDN controller manage that?
I can explain that, yeah. Today in ONAP, as Steve said, you plug in your external controller, which is today is called a third-party controller. Like look at the VoLTE use case, yeah? Mm-hmm. The VoLTE use case, you bring your DCN controller, your WAN controller, the gateway controller, or any other controller, mm-hmm. but they are sitting below the SDNC in terms of hierarchy. SDNC controller is today in ONAP is a global controller, okay? Mm-hmm. So that is the top layer controller functionality today, unless we change it. Now, you are right. We are not defining the scope of the third-party controller. We are just simply saying that a vendor can bring in a controller, an external controller, and plug it into the ONAP as a downstream controller to SDNC. And the way that the ONAP comes to know about this controller is through a configuration node, which is created within the SDNC as part of DG. So the DG has a configuration node, can learn about a so-called the vendor adapter. The vendor adapter and the DG configuration node, they work together so that the presence of that controller is now known to ONAP, and then SDNC and that controller, they can really collectively manage the connectivity services. But the SDNC only sees an overview of those resources that are in the scope for SDNC. It doesn't see the actual resources that are used by the external controller for connectivity services.
Third-party controller. Okay. You don't have a third-party controller. So now, in a third-party, in that model, which I'm not that familiar with, so maybe my presentation should have been more of an ask questions session than presenting. How is this modeled in ONAP? How is it modeled in ONAP? Does ANAI, does SDN controller decompose the resources it manages into the set of third-party controllers it deals with? Does it do homing?
Of course, Shakir or Dan, Dan can elaborate on their implementation.
Is it all done with custom DGs?
No, this is already communicated to the SDNC that there is a controller is sitting below that in this hierarchy. But SDNC doesn't know much about
a
the
controller?
Detail of the connectivity.
Let me pause you. Is it a controller or a possible set of controllers?
No, a controller, let's say just focus on a single controller, like a DCN controller or a LAN controller.
That doesn't help. So can you focus on multiple? Because I'm trying to figure out, I know how to plug in multiple external controllers the way I've defined it. I'm not quite sure how to plug in multiple third-party controllers. But I think we're just in from Chris's agenda's perspective, should we pause this and make this an offline discussion, Chris, or is this helpful for everyone?
I think we can go a little bit further on this and then keep going with your proposal. Okay. Because, you know, we did have a way of plugging in other SDN controllers, for example, like if someone wanted to do ONOS or someone wanted to do something else, that it could plug into SDNC. But I think that there's also the need for the external controller, the way that you drew it up, Gil. You and Steve and Jamil did the presentation about ETSI alignment at ONS. And that may be an example that someone may want to plug in directly to SO.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think both models can be valid, actually. But I think we just need to differentiate them and understand the characteristics. And for me, the characteristics was, if the SDN controller is controlling another controller, he only sees the resources, the services that that controller provides. He doesn't understand what resources that use underneath it as well. And that could be true if it's different ones, I presume. Mm-hmm. And in the case where you're plugging the controller into SO, I assume that it behaves more like what's in this picture, the generic NF controller and the SDN controller, where ONAP is aware of those resources and is using it to provide the services from, so ONAP is actually managing those resources and the services then.
So it definitely is two different patterns. So I would like to understand for this pattern shown here, you used the term ONAP as if SDN controller is not part of ONAP.
No, we've got two SDN controllers in this case. One is the third party controller is,
okay.
Say that's outside ONAP there.
Okay.
And the SDN controller in that case, to my understanding, or ONAP as such, is, let's say, using the services provided by that third-party controller, which you could model as resources, but you don't understand how that third-party controller actually provides you that service. That's subtracted away from you.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to get into the details of how this, because I suspect this is being done today with custom DGs. I'm trying to think, you know. So yeah, the rest of my presentation is, what is a controller? How does the rest of ONAP interact with it? How do you make assignments? How do you do configuration? What are the resources that are inventoried in ANI? Ability, and having a controller under a controller makes me question whether or not this red API is the same API as this northbound API. It can't be.
No, I don't think so. No,
it is not.
Which asks me further the question of what is across this API? Are we saying that there is complex resources that SDN controller would then decompose into resources that are split across a controller A and a controller P third party?
Gil, to make it simple, we can consider it as for the SDN case, it's one more DG element, right? I mean, it could be a part where you'll have a REST interface underneath it. That's all business logic, which is in DG part of it. The adaptation which happens is within the DG block, which is added to the SDNC.
Yeah. So you can certainly do this with custom DGs.
Yes.
Is that the idea? So with custom DGs, you can certainly can do whatever you want.
Yes.
You could rebuild ONAP.
There is more to it.
I think what your proposal is more about adding one more controller at the level of APC or VFC or SDNC, and what the other thing which we are talking about right now from the architecture diagram is something added below those controllers, which are there in the controller layer right now in the ONAP. Below that is what we are talking about. That is like sub-controllers is what we can call them as, or third-party controllers, or specific controllers based on vendor adaptations and all. Because not all the VNFs which we have right now are compatible with ONAP. So we may require some tweaks here and there, or some control elements, which is what we are talking about adaptation. That is to be done as a part of custom DG.
Right. So
there are two options, Sesho. Hold on, Gil. To follow up what Sesho said, there are two options. One option is, Gil, if you want to really bring this external controller and plug it into, instead of this SDNC, you can plug it into as a global controller. The architecture should allow that. That yes. could be one option. The other option is you keep the STNC controller today. This is called the global controller. And as you showing those with red double arrow, you can plug in a south bound like a downstream controller as a external controller. But the scope of the external controller is not the same as if you plug in as a global controller, has a smaller scope. Yep. Okay, those options are available.
That's what. By the way, the option one is what is Gil's proposal right now, and option two is what we are saying is already there in ONAP.
Yeah,
so but, it's not standardized. It's not. Yeah. So that's the question. Yes, is there is. With custom DGs, I guess really, so certainly we don't want to eliminate the ability to have custom DGs. I guess I'm trying to figure out, you know,
yeah.
In order for this model to work with the short red arrows, right? SDNC needs to do some sort of a decomposition. Something needs to do some sort of a homing, I'm thinking, right? So it seems like to me that by having this model here where the third-party controller plugs into the SDN controller, I'm afraid, not having seen the APIs and not being familiar with them, that what the functionality that's going to end up having to be in the SDN controller is going to be overlapping with functionality that's already in ONAP. So what is it that would, well, so I would just like to explore this, right? If I plug in using this arrow here, then, so with the short arrows, ONAP is aware of the resources, at least the abstraction that these controllers provide. ONAP is aware of those resources because ONAP needs to decide whether to go to controller A or controller B. But it's not all of ONAP. It's just the SDN controller. Is it an ANAI?
It's aware of that. It's aware of the third-party controller, but it's not necessarily aware of the resources that controller uses to provide the service.
Doesn't the SDN controller see the third-party controller as a manager of one resource?
I'll put it this way. The external controller itself becomes a resource in that case, right? Because you will know, will know that this external controller is my resource. It will not know it's a black box for SO or any other orchestration for that case. It becomes a black box, and that becomes a resource for which I'll actually direct my call to the SDNC.
So you're saying that it looks like a network function. It looks like a VNF.
Isn't this Yang versus Tosca? That if it's modeled in Yang, it goes through the SDNC?
That could be one of the cases. But again, I mean, Chris, you're right. Yang, because we are talking of southbound of SDNC and all. But more of Yang versus Tosca, it is more about how we model it, right? How the model is being injected from SDC to SDSO. And SO takes a call from that using a BPM recipe. But you're right, even that matters for that case.
Actually, let me ask something.
This is Ramki, sorry for jumping in. So this was sort of the exact topic, I think, Parviz, all if you recall, we were in the Tiger team, right? This is exactly the topic, the SDN hierarchy and how we go about it. Yeah. Let me
follow up on this Yang and NetConf Yang. So if you only bring that external controller as a third-party controller, not SDNC, that third-party controller today, it could be a vendor implementation because vendor is going to really connect to all the PNFs and VNFs that the vendor knows how to connect. It could be connecting to a NetConf device, or it could be connecting to something else, okay? Because vendor knows how to really control those devices, okay? But if you plug in as an SDN controller, then as Sesho said, there is a northbound API, it's called the generic resource API. There are certain attributes that SO and the SDN controller, the SO has to send those attributes to the SDN controller so the SDN controller can do the job.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That's all resources, right? That's all resource-based. It's all network function resource, right? So did I draw this picture right that we're saying that the third-party controller plugging into SDNC looks to the SDC like a resource? It looks like a network function. It looks like a VNF or a PNF, maybe? Is this what we're saying is the model, or
Let's not complicate things here, because Gil, just for make simplicity of this, let's not complicate things. Let's not put the resource as VNF or PNF, because again, you're opening up Pandora's box there, right? So let's keep it as resource, because resource is a very abstract term. Let it be there, because once you go to VNF or PNF, we are touching the Pandora's box.
Yeah. I mean,
well, is so there a standard?
Is
there a standard API that we're asking third-party controllers to meet? Is there a third-party controller descriptor?
No, there is not.
If it looks like a resource, does it have a descriptor?
No, I understand what you're asking, but we don't have such standard. The problem is we don't have such standard. The resource could be anything right now, right? I mean, what we're talking about is a DG-based thing.
So it sounds like it is not really a controller from the viewpoint of ONAP. I understand that it's called third-party controller because vendors call these things that are plugged in this way controller. For instance, SD-WAN controller that some vendors have and other controllers. But from ONAP viewpoint, it seems that it's not a controller. It's some implementation of some. So a DG maybe calls some additional, program to do some more stuff. But ONAP is completely unaware of what it is doing and what it is doing. It is not a controller.
But one thing to keep in mind, this is Ramki, one thing to keep in mind, we have to be aware of what functions it's providing. Basically, this is sort of the breakdown we did, right? So how we essentially break it down to WAN versus within a data center or a cloud region. Within a cloud region, it has to do the overlay and the gateway function, right? And underlay is more of a need time, but at least functionally, we know exactly what it's do. But I do agree on APIs, we don't have a standard.
Hey, Gil, I'll give you an example for clarification. The example would be like, if you are going to have an external controller only to control the resources for the WAN cloud, for example. The WAN cloud, you have an ingress node, like a PE, and an egress node. The SDNC doesn't really care about the internal, all the resources within the cloud. The only thing that it cares is those touch points, which is the egress node and ingress node. That's it.
That's right.
That information has to be,
To me, that sounds like a network. Let's get back into my deck, because I would like to have a discussion on this and understand this anyway, in terms of what is, I think we need to have some structure around our terms. Right, and we need to define the APIs now. I'm not saying that we can't have the flexibility of just letting a service provider plug something into ONAP, whatever it is, and mess with the DGs or mess with whatever to customize it, right? But they can always do that, right? But I'm not sure that would mean that thing shows up on our architecture slide,
right?
As you know, something that we interface with. That's just. So anyway, let's get back. Let me see if I can wrap up my presentation. So let's see. So if what I'm calling an external controller really does look like a controller to ONAP, then there's no need for it to have an adapter. It can just plug into ONAP directly like any other controller. So in other words, it would look like another controller instance. Why would you do that? So you probably would not plug in an external controller the way I'm defining it, as opposed to a third-party controller. An external controller the way I'm defining it to replace. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I think we still require adapter in the SO, right? Because even if you're adding it as an adapter at that level, even you require adapter in the SO. I mean, the controller will require adapter in the SO.
Yeah.
Or would it just be a recipe that says, "Here's this external controller. As soon as the artifact hits SO, it just says use the special
recipe is required, Chris, actually, but still you require adapter because SO can only communicate using a specific. We don't have that. I mean, the default ability in SO to talk to anyone. We require to have an adapter inside SO that will do the basic transformation from what the input call is from the client to the controller. So adapter is required, but that will be internal to SO. That will be one more layer, which is what to be formed inside SO.
Send messages to the MSB, is it? Maybe my understanding was not correct.
Yeah, I mean, if we, SO can either call from MSB or DMAP, that is okay. But we require, that's what, the call to the adapter comes from the SO, I mean, through adapter action. The call to the controller comes from SO through the adapter, and the adapter will take a call whether it's a DMAP or MSB.
Can we create a generic adapter?
We don't have generic adapter right now. That's what Chris, I'm trying to make. Actually, Gil point is right, but we don't have generic adapter right now.
Yeah,
we have adapter specific, right? Gil, you agree?
Good point. So I have. So you're asking Gil, is this a Casablanca proposal or is this a target proposal? I think it's a target proposal that is trying to set a direction for us to decide what to do on Casablanca.
Right. The reason, I'm sorry for interrupting Gil here, but I want to make sure that we are on the same page. Let's not have any assumptions on this one.
So really what I mean by this first bullet, Seshu, is that if we were to add another SDNC instance to ONAP, like an edge SDNC versus a core SDNC, whatever is required, nothing more should be required from ONAP to plug in an external controller than that would be plugged in to add another instance of a controller which comes with ONAP. If we need an adapter to plug in another instance of a controller that comes with ONAP, then we would include an adapter for this as well. It would look like this external controller would look like another controller instance from the rest of ONAP.
You mean they'll just use the existing API of an existing controller of ONAP?
That's right. I'm saying that there should be
a generic set of APIs
that all controllers.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
In that case, we require a generic adapter.
I think that will work. But my question is, how are you going to switch to the correct controller whenever you're going to apply a recipe?
Good question. So we need to solve the federation problem. It's not that question is not specific to external controllers. It is a federation question, right? So when we have multiple instances of ONAP of controllers that come with ONAP, how does SO know which one to call, for instance? And that gets into the whole registry question, et cetera, which I think that's a very good question, but it's not specific to external controllers. However we solve that problem for internal controllers, we would use the same mechanism for external.
Yeah, some sort of homing logic maybe, you know, may contain this.
Request, Parviz, Gil, all. So there is also a discussion happening in the Tiger team. Parviz, I think you have the latest updated deck, right?
Yeah, sure.
Perhaps could we all take a look at this and then, because there are some points being raised. I think several of us had good discussions, right, around the end-to-end.
There are two aspects, Ramki. Let me clarify that, Gil. There are two aspects. One aspect is the northbound. Seshu was talking about the SO and the external controller interaction. That's one aspect. The second aspect is the southbound. Now, for the northbound, you have to comply with the generic resource API. It's already there in the SDNC roadmap. And actually, the old API is being deprecated. If you talk to Dan Timoney, it's called the VNF resource API. That generic resource API is there. If your external controller comply with the requirement of that API, then northbound, you're okay. Then you come to southbound. The question for the southbound is, do you want to plug in a combination of SDNC and the third-party controller in one shot, in one unit, or you want to split it in two? Because in ONAP today, that is split in two separate controllers.
So you have to make a choice there. So external controller to me is not part of ONAP, so I'm not concerned about it southbound.
Okay, so that's fine. That's only the northbound.
Yep.
External, but then, so this is the same idea we're working in multi-cloud, right? One unified API for deploying across clouds, right? I mean, networks, workloads. I didn't get that part where you were not standardizing that.
We need to figure out what is the touch.
Gil, you mentioned in somewhere in the beginning, do we want to talk in addition to the API also about something else, some functionality? I think that at least the one thing we need to talk about is the update to ANAI. So, you know, if it's a controller of ONAP, then it updates ANAI, and we know that the ANAI has all the information that is needed.
That's right.
You know, to look and understand the service, to do you know, to service the service, to do service assurance and all that.
That's right. Yep.
If it doesn't, then it cannot be considered an ONAP controller.
That's right. Yep. And I'm saying that, you know, it is an ONAP controller. It's the equivalent of ONAP controller, because ANAI would maintain the inventory of all the resources controlled by external or ONAP controllers, internal controllers. And yes, it is the external controller which puts that into ANAI.
So if it is a controller underneath SO, then it will have to do it, of course, because no one else can, because SO is going to call it and not SDNC. So it will have to abide by this, and in particular update ANAI just as SDNC does.
That's right.
If it is underneath SDNC, then from ONAP viewpoint, it is SDNC's role to update ANAI. And if it's not, and then the interface, somewhere in the interface, that DG in ANAI that implements whatever it is that eventually also calls that other thing that we call third-party controller. But to me, it's just another program from somewhere. That thing should return enough information for that DG in SDNC to update ANAI, or else SDNC as a controller is not doing its role.
I think it depends on the abstraction you're providing there, right? Of course, it must update something, but what is it? It might not necessarily be the underlying resources, but obviously the services that that provider has given to ONAP or to SDNC must be represented. That I agree with you.
Yeah, for this, there's all sorts of questions about this arrow in my mind in terms of what is the abstraction that we're providing to the rest of ONAP, to ANAI. Your question is, if we allow these arrows here where there's something underneath SDNC, what is the abstraction that SDNC does know, and is it reflected in ANAI to the rest of ONAP? Or is there some abstraction that SDNC knows that nobody else knows, or what?
Yeah, I think it would probably make sense if this is a real business need, and it sounds like it is. Then we want to specify what it is that a controller, an ONAP controller, needs to update in ANAI to make it minimum viable controller kind of thing, to allow ONAP to work properly. And then, because DCAE then takes stuff from there and knows, you know, what to do, control loop needs to work and all that. And we'll define that. And then whoever wants to plug some program this way, they will know that DG that they implement in SDNC that calls their function will need to have enough information to be able to update ANAI with that, which is the minimum that is necessary.
There are other dependencies for SDNC. If you really replace SDNC with external controller, then Gil, you need to really look at all the dependency for SDNC in relation to the other ONAP component. It's ANAI, it would be interaction with DCAE, with the rest of SO. Those dependencies are already a part of the SDNC project. If your external controller meets all those requirements, then you're in business. You can just simply bring it and plug it into ONAP, and ONAP cannot tell the difference.
That's the point. So should I go back and cross through this functionality bullet? Is the API sufficient?
I think it is the API, but it's not just one.
It's
more the than point. There's SO or MSB, however we're doing this. It's ANAI and DCAE and maybe multivim.
Yeah,
but ANAI, you can talk about API, and if it doesn't call ANAI, it can say, well, I do not you know, I don't call an AI, so I don't need to implement this. So,
yep.
No,
that's a separate issue, yeah.
The necessary other ONAP APIs.
Yeah. So I think still strike out the word functionality, because you know, what if we wanted to come up with a storage controller or something else that doesn't exist inside ONAP today?
So call the necessary other APIs.
Yeah.
Proper to the role of an ONAP. Internal control. Maybe I should use internal control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me make sure. Go ahead, Ramke.
So Gil, a quick question. So the interface to the external controller is through multi-cloud, right? I saw one picture. Is that just to clarify?
It is not.
No.
It is not. It need not be.
It would be, you could take one of the existing internal controllers out and click in the external controller in that spot. And that's right. That's how it should interact with the rest of the system.
That's right.
But I didn't get that part on like external controller means, so that means there's a custom directed graph for handling this?
No, there is no. This doesn't plug into to SDNC at all, Ramke. It plugs in as a peer of SDNC. There's no directed.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a peer. Okay. Completely. Okay.
Yep.
I see.
So this is, Gil, your goal is to really leverage on the orchestration capability of ONAP, not connectivity.
My goal here is to make ONAP model driven by making well-defined APIs between components, and I'm not comfortable with ill well-defined APIs that to things that show up on the architecture slide that don't have, that you can't point to and say this is the API, right? So I'm there's this thing that we've talked about called external controllers. We talk about loosely. I'm trying to put some meat on that. And what is it? What is it? And my point, the basis of my point is that if we want to interact with something that is not a standard, that doesn't have a standard, that doesn't have a well-defined spec, then it should meet the ONAP standard. It should look like something in ONAP to be swapped out. If it does meet a standard, then we can adapt to it like a VNF manager. But if it doesn't, then it should. If there is no standard, then why not make ONAP be the de facto standard, which is the proposal here. If it calls itself a controller, then let it act like a controller relative to ONAP. But then it raises the question, what is an ONAP controller? Which I think is really the need. We need to define what is an ONAP controller. And I'm not sure. I took a stab at it. And we can go through this. But
I think the question... and maybe that is what you're answering here. But to me, the question is, what is the minimum viable controller?
Yes, exactly. What is the minimum viable controller? Exactly. And how does ONAP, how does the model that comes out of distribution, which drives all of the rest of ONAP's behavior, how does it see and interact with the minimal viable controller?
Okay. Gil, the controller in ONAP is mainly... a subset of the function that we borrowed from ECOM based on ODL framework.
That's
the ODL has
That's
a bigger
tool.
Scope than SDNC. Yeah,
that's a tool. That's
so we have this MDSAL, all the tools that are associated with the MDSAL from ODL.
I'm not sure it's the minimum viable controller, probably.
Right, that's
not I'm not saying minimal viable. I'm saying that the ECOMP implementation, we basically inherited the ECOMP controller, which is modeled after MDSAL. It doesn't have even the most of the ODL function.
That's
so
right.
Dan Timoney owns that piece of code.
That's right.
If you want to, Gil, if you want to really expand the scope of the SDNC today,
no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not.
Parviz, no, we've got different definitions of controller here. You know, the SDN controllers that might plug into SDNC, and you've got the SDNC, APC, VFC. We're talking about the SDNC, APC, VFC components. We're not talking about how you get another SDN controller like Onos connecting to SDNC.
Right.
So let's focus on that top level for today's presentation of how would we drop something in to replace SDNC, AppC, VSC.
All yep. three of them.
One of them, wherever yeah. you want to plug in.
No. You cannot do that. Because AppC doesn't do the same thing as SDNC.
Let's get into that. You're right on the mark, right? What is it that controllers do? And how should we view it? That's what the next slides are about, right?
Okay. The SDNC.
I'm not asking you. I'm going to tell you what I think, right?
Yeah, let's not talk about what goes south of SDNC anymore. Let's keep it the thing that attaches to SO.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay.
Okay. So basically as a transition segue, you know, I'm proposing that we use the ONAP controller, give that to the vendors and say, hey, look, if you want to plug something else into ONAP at the level of an SDNC, AppC, VFC controller, then you meet the ONAP API, the ONAP spec. Well, what is that? We need to, so here's what I think it is, and coming from, like you said, coming from AT&T, this is what the eComp, with my eComp hat on, here's what I think it is. And let's see how controversial it is, because I suspect we won't make it through this without it becoming controversial, which means we need to have some discussions on the topic. So what is the scope of an ONAP controller? I think ONAP components interact with ONAP controllers primarily at the resource level within a service context. What does that mean? That means that ONAP controllers expose, if you look at the generic resource API that Dan Timothy mentioned, Parviz, right? What sort of API controls do you have? Well, it's like network functions, or maybe it's not even network function. It should be resource, right? Because you can do these things with networks as well, which are not network functions. You configure them, you can activate them, you can restart them, you can run a health check on them, you can upgrade the software. Those are common across both what we call AppC and SDNC, right? So SO interactions with controllers are fundamentally at the resource level, where a resource is either a network function, which I think is either a VNF, a PNF, or an allotted, or a network like a WAN. So yes, ONAP can look at, I think, in the model, ONAP can look at an entire WAN as being a single resource, which is managed by a controller, probably a third-party controller or an external controller in my definition. It's that other controller that gets a request that says, I need a WAN connection from point A to point B. And it's that other controller that reaches down and knows how to configure all the piece parts in between to give you that connection, because the WAN is a network, it is a resource. And so from ANAI's perspective, it's a resource. From SO's perspective, it's a resource. But from the controller's perspective, it's more. So I think controllers.
Let's put a qualifier there. The network ahead. Like WAN, you should qualify that. It's not the entire network resources. It's only the touch points, okay? I don't know how you want to phrase that. That means, like I mentioned, the ingress node and the egress node.
Right. My not share the whole, of the WAN. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. My share of a WAN.
Yeah, when you expose those points.
Subnet, right? Yeah, so a subnetwork. I'm not sure how to say it in English, right? But whatever. Okay, so for example, for an ONAP service X that's comprised of three dedicated VNF types, A, B, and C, you could call a different GNFC type instance for each VNF type because they're resource level controllers. I can so SO would say for as part of SO would decompose service X into A, B, and C VNFs. SO would do some data mappings that would SO would receive in with the instantiation request for service X. It would receive service X level data. The customer wants bronze, whatever, right? It would then decompose that into the VNFs A, B, and C. And it would interact with the resources, the controllers, at the resource level. It would say configure VNFA, configure VNFB, configure VNFC. And because it's saying configure at the resource level, it could talk to three different instances of controller, I think. And each controller would be responsible for configuring their own piece of this end-to-end service. They would configure A, B, or C respectively. But because they're service aware, SO can pass the service level context data down to the controller and have it deal with it. In other words, SO could send bronze, ServiceX bronze, down to the controller for A, and the controller for A would know how to translate the service level concept of bronze into what that means for VNFA. I think that's what a controller does. So hence, ONAP controllers are more properly thought of being resource level controllers and not service level controllers. I think the locus of service level control in ONAP is not in a controller, but rather it's in ONAP itself. It's the service control in ONAP is the collective of interacting components with ONAP itself. That is the service controller, but not SDNC, not VNFC, not APC. Okay, so go ahead.
Raghu is saying service level controller. But Gil, so far I guess it's fine, but we need to differentiate the role of controller when it comes to managing certain resources. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We need to differentiate. But for now, at the high level, this is okay.
Is it okay? I thought it would be controversial. Did Raghu pay something that said it was controversial? Okay.
Well, Gil, instead of resource level, I would prefer service component level, because the my share of WAN is a service component of the end-to-end service, if you will.
Okay. If we model, I'm trying to use SDC terminology. So you're right. I think it depends on what do you mean by service component. So when I think of service component, the way that I think the SDC team is modeling it, a service component is like an abstraction that can point to a real resource. A real resource is a concrete something which can be manipulated. And I'm thinking it's concrete resources that go to the controller and not these abstract service component things. But
yeah, and I think the distinction might be in under what case, sorry, somebody's unmute. The distinction might be under what circumstances would you have a detailed view of each VNF PNF versus just an abstracted view of the my share of the WAN, right? And Steven's point earlier on in the chat suggested that it might be more of the latter, that it might be an abstracted my share.
Well, I don't know. I think about a lot of resources being like a my share of a network function.
Okay.
So I'm thinking they're sort of like equivalent.
There is no abstraction. There is the touch point.
My point was to the other scenario we're not discussing now, really. I think this case you don't have the abstraction. Well, nominally, I would say. Who knows in the end.
So hey, Gil, you're saying that SDNC is not a service controller. So who is it that somebody in ONAP goes to get an allotted resource from? Because a lot of resources are allotted by services.
Right.
Who does this allotment?
I'm thinking it's OOF. So you're saying I think what you're saying, Yoav, is if I've got, so here's what I'm thinking, right? There should be an allotted resource controller, just like there's a VNF controller, PNF. There should be a controller I can point to, which is the allotted resource controller. And it's responsible, and this is something I'm struggling with in my recursion thing, right? It's responsible for getting that allotted resource for you, right? Now, you're saying that behind that allotted resource is a service. And I think that service could even reside off board of ONAP. It could be like in a B2B type thing, right? So you ask a good question. I'm not really quite sure on my feet how to answer that. You're saying, is there really is the allotted resource controller, should we really think of it as being a service controller? And I think it's different. So one question would be, if an allotted resource is implemented across three VNFs, I'm thinking there would be a controller, for the infrastructure service perspective, there could be a different controller for each VNF to stand up the infrastructure service, right? Once you've stood up the infrastructure service, is there an allotted resource controller which interacts with the VNF directly, or does it interact with the VNF controllers? And I'm thinking it would interact with the VNFs directly. So does, because it interacts with two VNFs, does that make it a service controller? I don't think so, because really what it's dealing with is one resource in allotted.
Gil, one clarification. If I don't know you were engaged with that definition of you can swap service with resource, yeah, because it depends on the context. So you don't want to differentiate service from resource, because at one instance, if there is a resource, it could be service for another context.
That's so true.
In the nested service scenario, if you recall, mm-hmm. we just simply wanted to use the notion of like resource or service interchangeably. It depends on the context, okay? There is not such a thing like, unless you talk about something else, like a service in terms of orchestration and resource in terms of connectivity. Those are two different things. But in general, they are the same.
So when you I agree that what's a resource to one, and maybe this is a better answer to Yoav's question, what's a resource to one could look like a service to another.
Exactly.
And in that case, you already established that. It should come back into SO, I think.
Yeah.
So the recursion, so you should nest this thing down. And maybe we don't have the proper nesting for allotteds to think about it that way. I'm not quite sure, Yoav. I'm struggling with that one myself right now, and that's part of the discussion that's going on with Bill Cohn's team.
Yeah,
you know, how do we get the proper abstraction here so that we can allow for nesting and recursion?
So I think it's a modeling question. Clearly, it comes down to modeling. Question to me right now is, do we need to get to a decision on this in order to define a minimum viable controller? My instinct says no. We could define a minimum viable controller without even getting to to a final answer on this.
Well, it depends what the this is. I think so. The generic resource API right now doesn't, with one exception, which we'll talk about in the last bullet. With one exception, it doesn't have service level operation. There's no service configure service or activate service. There's no restart service or run service health check or upgrade service software. It's all resource level. That is the generic resource level API that controllers expose today. They're resource level APIs. Mm-hmm. Now, if we really
believe that. One question I have, Jill. Sorry. So this is great discussion, and I really like the service control rather than VNF control. But one thing I need to ask, what are we going to onboard as a service is quite an unknown to me. Are they still going to be VNFs that will conform to VNF guidelines and that they can only instantiate it within an OpenStack environment? Or will this solution, which I think it definitely can, help also non-standard OpenStack or etcnfv type of architectures?
So yeah, VNFs have nothing to do with, so VNFs even today don't depend on one OpenStack, right? The VNF, and yes, there's a sidebar set of conversations going on in terms of how would you take in an etc VNF descriptor and turn it into something that ONAP can manage with respect to scaling, for instance, the more complex stuff. And so yes, and so there's no need for OpenStack in a VNF definition. And you ask what a service definition is, it should be, so there's really no reason why someone could not sell a service and in ONAP publish a service descriptor that you could onboard. But I do believe that the components of that service must have their own descriptors. There should be network function descriptors and network descriptors for the resources that that comprise that service.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, ONAP shouldn't be expected to instantiate them in any of the underlying infrastructures. I mean, it could be a proprietary infra. that what I was trying to say. So we won't expect that specific service to be instantiated in AWS or Azure or AIC or wherever. That could definitely be a very specific destination, right?
I think we need to distinguish an ONAP between managed ONAP services and non-managed ONAP services. And you're right, there's absolutely no reason why ONAP could not go offboard to another ONAP instance and just ask for a, decompose a service into two VNFs and a service. And that lower level service is an unmanaged service, and you go across an east-west API to get that service instance from another ONAP. And the first ONAP knows nothing about the guts of that other service except how to, you know, what it looks like from the outside.
So what we're really saying, if I can paraphrase, I think is the minimum viable controller is something that can be modeled using, you know, the existing model coming from SDC. If we needed to do new capabilities that isn't already built into that model, then that's going to need more work through the system. But as long as we can use the existing model in a model-driven system, then we could support whatever this new controller is. Is that right?
That's an interesting way to put it. You're saying that because our SDC model is not currently complete to fully drive a model-driven system without having custom DGs, et cetera, then therefore an external controller today should consume what SDC can produce, but need not consume more than we expect of ourselves.
Because what
there,
is
there's
more?
More than there'd have to be some external work to configure that.
That's right.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, let's be more focused, as Chris said. Today we have VNFT modeled. Today, VNFT, the SO has to really use VNFT to drive the, I call the rest of those controller like workers, yeah? The workers or the actors, whatever you want to call them, they have to do certain piece of work based on the VNFT model. A part of it is the CRUD operation, CRUD, which is your VNF manager and AppC. And another part is the connectivity, which is the your forwarding graph, your link model, and your IP address allocation, and so on and so. So if you have a model delivered by SDC, and if SO can decompose that and distribute the work among the workers, the worker could be a VNF manager, AppC, or it could be an SDNC, or it could be an external controller. That has to be driven by the model, as Chris says. I agree with you.
Right. Yep. So my takeaway from this slide is we need to define what is a controller. And I think Yoav's point and your point that you're resonating with, Chris, is we also need to define what is a minimal viable controller.
I would say we only need to define that.
Well, from I'd say yeah. So Chris made the point. I mean, a minimal viable controller today might not look like a minimal viable controller tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So
we need to focus on the minimal viable controller for not just Casablanca, but for the future, for the undefined future.
Update it for any release as we progress with our capabilities.
Yeah.
It kind of strikes me, Gil, that you're kind of heading for a set of sort of not VNF requirements, but controller requirements in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what you need to comply to in order to be able to plug in to ONAP with zero configuration.
Yeah. I think so. And I think, you know, we could extend this to other ONAP components as well. The bottom line is if we do a good job of defining our APIs and what our functions of the components are, et cetera, then why not allow someone to bring their own thing that they think is better and plug it into ONAP? Not as an ONAP exercise, you know, it's not like I don't think ONAP would certify that this external controller is compliant with the ONAP standard. I think it would still be a service provider who would take on the job of customizing their own ONAP to meet this external. But if we publish our APIs, then
We could even consider that in the future, doing a compliance program, which would possibly be the first step into bringing it into a service provider. With the new LFN compliance and verification committee, it would take a while, but you know, a year from now, if we wanted to have a controller reference, and then if someone wanted to bring in a third-party controller to verify interoperability with ONAP, it would be possible.
It would, but would that dilute, Chris, the vendor's incentive to contribute to make the CCSDK, the ONAP controller, the in-house controller better? You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to discourage that effort.
Yeah, not necessarily. In fact, it could strengthen the ecosystem. You know, we would have to define what compatible is and what the interfaces are and what we're expecting. But that could be a virtuous cycle. And we'd see vendors picking up aspects of CCSDK if it made it easier to get the compliance logo. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, there's some non-technical aspects to this as well. But yeah, you're right. You could, if we define the APIs, right?
Gil, okay. Hi, Gil. This is Arash from Amdocs. I was wondering if I could make a quick point here.
Sure.
I just wanted to say what's referred to as a controller in eComp ONAP is really very, very different than traditional networking controllers as referred to by vendors. Vendor network controllers are really much bigger and complex beasts. They do flow control, they do path calculations, they do topology discovery, BGPLS, PSAP right. protocols. They do a lot more than what we call a controller in ONAP. The controllers in eComp ONAP are really just configuration managers.
That's true.
So the controllers are much, much bigger beasts. And I was just wondering if ONAP would ever get into those domains.
It's a very good question. I mean, so if we had a virtual PE, which was separated into a routing function and a forwarding function, right? The routing function is I guess, would be called, from the vendor's perspective, would be considered the controller, I think, and it would have the BGP interface outsource stuff. Would ONAP view that routing function as a VNF, as a network function, or as an extension to the SDNC? Now, I know if Vimal was here, he would say that, you know, ONAP controllers do not sit in the data path. They would not terminate a BGP API, but I'm not sure if that's a controversial statement or not.
No, we need to clarify this. Gil, I guess people probably we need to refresh our knowledge about this MD-SAL, because this is what we have today for the SDNC and ACSI, the MD-SAL model after ODL, okay? There is already a set of tools that you create the configuration and the operations aspects of this service. It's already a part of the MD-SAL. Now, that is only for ACSI and SDNC. You want to change that to something else, that's different, okay? For VFC, things are totally different. So you want to harmonize this variation in terms of functionality of the controller in ONAP, or you want to bring in a black box, you call it external controller, and it can do totally a new set of functions using a new set of infrastructure resources, and that you should be able to plug in ONAP, and ONAP should work fine. That is your intention, correct?
Yep.
Okay, yes, so yes. Then let's not worry about SDNC, ACSI, or even VFC. You want to really take a black box, call it controller, and make sure the controller in your bullet points is captured. The LCM is captured. The connectivity is kind of not clear, resource level versus service level. Back to Chris's point, whatever we do or we expect the controller to do, it should really follow the direction from SO, because controller is like a slave. It's a worker. It's a plumber in some instances. Right. So you take the model, or in this case, the data model, you pass it to the controller, and the controller should really do the job and get back to the SO and says, I'm done. As simple as that.
And as Steve pointed out in the chat, it needs to be delivered as a Docker container so it could be stood up under OOM.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, an external controller. Well, so I guess that's a good question. So, what is the? I skipped over that. We can certainly decide that, but we do need to work. Should if an external controller is really brought by a vendor to a service provider and not to the ONAP community, so, which is what I was thinking, Chris, before you made your comment. Then really there would need to be a way for ONAP to discover a controller instance that isn't controlled by OOM.
Yeah, okay.
So we need to have that discussion, I guess. Okay, let me just get to, so just last couple of points, unless Chris, I know I'm way over time.
Yeah, why don't you wrap up? The next presentation is Parviz on microservices. I think we're getting to the end, so why don't you just wrap up?
We are, one more slide for this one. So how does an SDNC differ from a network function controller, right? So both of them do a lot of the same things, right? They both in the target should support the same APIs, configure network function and activate network function, restart network function, right? Those are common. So why do we have two different words on our architecture diagram, right? So how do we use the term? So we use the term SDNC, I believe, for an ONAP controller instance that manages network function resources that provide layer 3, 0 through 3 functionality and or manages a non-network function resource that are networks. SDNC is focused on layer 0 through 3, network functions and networks. In GNFC is focused on layer 4 and above, but for those resources that they manage, they both use the same generic function API, or they should use the same generic function, generic resource API, configure, activate, restart, network function, etc. So therefore, they should both be implemented using the common CC SDK. A separate presentation, John Ng, I think, had a presentation on that. So 90% of what controllers of SDNC and GNFC do are the same functions for a different set of VNF or in-network function or resource types, except for assign. So what is it about assign? I think today it's only SDNC that performs the assign lifecycle management function, and it does it for all network functions, layer 0 and above. So if you've got a layer 5 or a layer 7 VNF, it's an SDNC that would perform the assignments for that thing. So you could have two controllers involved, two controller instances involved for the same VNF, at least the way I see things today. At least the way I envision things with ECOP, right? You would go to an SDNC instance to get assignments, but then you would go to a generic network function controller to apply configuration.
No LCM. I would say, because LCM is like an AppC kind of function, or VFC, but SDNC is focused today on connectivity services and some resource orchestration because of the hierarchical nature of the SDNC today.
So you're saying assign isn't really a lifecycle management function? Okay,
no,
I'm good with that.
I don't think that that's.
No, you agree or no, you disagree with what I just said?
No. The LCM is done somewhere else.
Okay, so assign LCM, okay. Okay, so the assign function is called by orchestration to ensure that ONAP knows the instance values for all the deployment data. Now, you said network connectivity data, which I think, I'm using the term deployment data on purpose here, right? Because that's who uses it. I think that what ONAP considers assignment data or connectivity data is equivalent to what ETSI considers deployment data. So what is it that one would assign through SDNC? Would one assign a TN range for a PBX VNF? I don't think so. I think that if we use the term assign for that, it would be confusing. I think the PBX TN range for a VNF, a PBX for a virtual PBX, I think that the instance values for that range would be determined as part of the configure network function request. When SO sends the configure network function to the generic network function controller for a virtual PBX, I think at that time, that controller would say, okay, well, what PBX range should I use? We would not use the term, I would avoid using the term assignment for that, because I think the reason SO calls an assign function first for SDNC is because it's trying to get values for that which is needed to stand up this VNF instance or this network function instance so it can be further managed later.
We need to take it offline. This is not accurate.
Okay.
Gil, maybe we should have a follow-up call in a smaller team, maybe Tiger team or somewhere else. But this is not accurate. We need to come back to this.
Okay. All right. So you're thinking Dan Timoney would disagree with this, or who do you think would disagree with this?
Well, I for one, I think that we need to revise this. Dan okay. is the owner of the code, of course. Yeah.
So we have a team then, Parviz, you and Dan and Gil need to work on this. Is that your proposal?
Yeah, I think
Somewhat of us, I think there is also another discussion going on around controller hierarchies in the Tiger team, so we should bring it together.
Yeah, we should bring
it. Well, that was for the third-party controller underneath, but yeah, so I'd like to be part of that as well, Ramke.
Okay. Thank you.
By the way, Dan is on.
Hey, Dan.
Okay. I've been quiet, but I'm here, and I don't necessarily.
Yeah. I saw your name, Dan. That's the reason I call you your name.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I disagree with anything I see on the screen, but we should definitely talk offline to make sure we're.
Yeah, we should talk.
So we can take it offline. But Parviz, can you just to kill the suspense, could you just say what is it you disagree with this, or just summarize
it? Yeah, the reason I don't want to confuse LCM with connectivity.
I crossed through LCM. You see that? I got rid of that.
And then I don't know the meaning of deployment data. I have to read maybe the etc spec. I used to be up to date.
Here's my definition, the second white bullet, right? By deployment data, I think we mean that set of data that must be configured at instantiation time in order for the resource to be further managed, i.e. configured by ONAP.
But configuration is one part. Who is going to do the stitching?
When you say the stitching, what do you mean?
You have PNF, VNF, you configure those components individually. And then you want to invoke a service. Those components should be stitched together in a special order. Who is going to do that? And how that is captured here?
SO determines the order. I think the way things are stitched together is you configure them individually, right? Is there something else? How else would you stitch something together other than configuring the resources individually in the proper sequence?
Again, this is based on the model that is delivered, which has the connection points, the links, and the VNF descriptor, all those components. The model has all the information.
Well, the service
worker
model,
in this case,
the service model would have the dependencies on the resource nodes that would say, you've got to configure this one first, and you've got to configure this one second, and you configure that one third, I think.
Okay. Hey, Gil and Parviz, sorry, let me interrupt for a second, right? So we went from a generic description of the SDN controller to zeroed in specifically on the SDN controller, right, and its functionalities.
Because of the assign function. Because I think the assign function is different. It's different than what I said on this page. Mm-hmm. On this page, I made the point that controllers are resource-focused, but today in ONAP, we have assignments taking place more at a service level.
But I mean, use ONAP, use the existing ONAP as an example, right? You have APC and you have SDNC. Mm-hmm. Even though they use the same framework, they perform a totally different function.
Totally different. Not totally different, right? So they both configure VNFs.
No. Timeout. They are totally different.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that they're the same. They're totally different. They use the same framework. But they perform totally different functions because no. We want to make sure that we're all baseline. We have all the same data, right? in the same information. SDN controller and AppC are totally different.
Absolutely.
Now, they use the same adapter framework. They use Yang model. They use Netconf and so on and so forth. To me, that's a framework. From a functional perspective, they perform two different functions, right? Where we've gotten to the point right now where we're zeroing in on the SDN controller and the way the SDN controller assigned, basically, I take it one step further, right? The way SDN controllers assigns IP addresses to the specific interfaces on a VNFs. So it's creating the LANs, the overlay, right?
So let's forget the assign, right? I think your disagreement is on this slide where I made the point that the SDNC, the SDNC and the GNFC are basically the same with respect to these functions.
But I want to go back to the point that I made earlier, though, right? Because we're way in the weeds right now, right? The point that I made earlier is we need to be able to, within ONAP, to introduce, to allow the platform, the framework, to interact with a different type of controllers, but we have to provide a high-level guidelines as to how the controllers should interact with ONAP without understanding the gory details, what's under the hood in each and every controller.
I'm talking about APIs.
And it doesn't really matter. Whether
it does. So APIs are what we have to specify.
But that's part of the framework.
What we don't care about is what you raise, ODL versus, you know, whatever else. We don't care about that, right? What we care about is what does the controller look like from the outside, from its APIs.
That's precisely right. The API, whether it is when you say LCM, which is lifecycle management, right? Well, that's part of the AppC, but there could be controllers that really don't care about LCM. They do something else, like, you know, handling IoT, doing whatever they need to do, right? So I think getting into the weeds and getting into the internals of the controller and specifying down to the nth level of detail how the controller should work is probably not part of the ONAP framework. You need to leave that flexibility to the controller implementer to implement whatever controller they want to implement, as long as they meet certain APIs.
So point to me a bullet or a dash on this slide that you're concerned about, because I'm not getting it, Jocker.
For example, under the second bullet, mm-hmm. and the second dash under that, ONAP controllers expose resource level LCM. Mm-hmm. AppC does nothing else.
So
you're too specific with AppC over here. Activate, yeah. Restart the NF. That's one that's controller, correct, yeah. Right? That's a specific. This is one controller.
Is that true?
Because, of course.
Is that true today, or is that true? You're saying
it is true. It is true today. I mean, today each service has an AppC, right? So if I decide that I want to do Vaulty, right, I could certainly have two APCs, one for IMS and the other one for the virtual APC, right? Mm-hmm. Each APC performs these functions, right? Specific within the APC, it performs these functions, the LCM functions. But you may have a controller that controls, that we want it to control, a set of IoT devices that are unique to a vendor.
So wait. Let's pause. So you said for each service there is an APC, and I made the exact opposite point. For each resource there's an APC.
Well, I mean, so let's take a look at today, right? Let's take a look today. If I have, for example, if I want to create a service, a virtual EPC service, mm-hmm. then I need SO instantiates all the virtual functions, and then once SO finishes with the orchestration, it passes the control to AppC, and AppC takes over the lifecycle management of that service. Mm-hmm. But that's a specific controller that manages the lifecycle.
For all VNFs. You're saying for all VNFs within that service, there would be one AppC.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm saying the opposite of that. Well,
that's why I interrupted, right? Because I've been listening for a while.
That's not the weeds. That's not the weeds, though. That's exactly what we need to discuss.
Well, so you're discussing right now just the AppC, just one controller, a lifecycle management controller. right?
I am not. I am proposing that it is the responsibility of SDNC to perform lifecycle management on a layer 2 VNF. Now, is that... So
and I don't know what that means, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a bunch of words, but I have no idea what it means.
So is the responsibility of an SDNC to restart a layer 2 VNF?
Sorry, right? SDNC have a different incarnations, right? Within AT&T, you have different incarnations. You use the SDNC framework, right, to provide multi-layer controller at layer 2. That's a different image that you're using than the SDN controller that is used to handle the layer 3 and above within ONAP. So you could use the same framework, but you could assign different functions. MLC, multi-layer controller, within your environment, collects all the BGP traffic, does the analysis on it, and then it takes the action. Well, that's totally different than the SDN controller that is responsible for assigning licenses, assigning IP addresses, and handling all the overlay for a specific service.
Right.
That, to me, that's a framework, right? That's a great framework. And I know that Dan is Dan. Dan, you could feel free to chime in. Mm-hmm. And we had this discussion a long time ago, how we want to make this to be generic enough, right? But using the same framework of the SDN controller, now I could spin up two different images. One does a multi-layer controller, and the other one does the IP address assignments, the creation of the networks, the handling the licenses and the licensing keys for VNFs and so on and so forth, right? APC happens to be using the same framework. You have the directed graph, you have the netconf, you have the Yang model, but it so happened that it's using the same framework to provide lifecycle management for a service.
Okay, let me pull it up a level, right? So what you're proposing, Shocker, is that SDNC is responsible only for instantiation of making assignments for VNFs, and it's not responsible for doing any lifecycle management on VNFs.
It depends on how we model.
I
talked over somebody. Go ahead.
Let me see. What I'm hearing from this discussion is that an external controller is a black box that performs some subset of the union of SDNC plus APC plus VFC. So in other words, all the capabilities that can be exposed by the data models inside ONAP. And it uses the APIs that are already defined in ONAP. At this point, we don't care what that is. We can just hand off to this entity, and it can go off and do its thing.
That's right.
And what we may want to look at in the future is, do we want to make our interfaces or our models more generic to support new capabilities? But for a minimum viable controller, it would just be a black box that clicks into the existing infrastructure. Did I get that right?
Yes, with some restriction, with some guidelines, right? For example, I think the point that was made earlier, though, Chris, right? For the example, the SDN controller framework would have to be able to access the service instance within ANAI and update a specific parameters within the service instance, right? So it would have to be able to, and I'm just making up stuff, right? It would have to be able to listen to the message bus and be able to handle certain events from the message bus. To me, these are the guidelines that we need to provide for the SDN controller. How the SDN controller, in going back to the discussion that we had with my other AT&T friends last week about OSAM, you could conceivably say OSAM is an SDN controller. I mean, it's a controller. I don't want to call it SDN controller. It's an ONAP controller that handles, within that framework, it handles the OSAM functionality within a pod, right? Take it one step further. I need a controller tomorrow or next week or next month to handle the BBUs within the RRUs within the 5G network. And you want to be able to provide the standard API some high-level functionalities or requirements that they need to do within the ONAP platform, but how they perform that function, we have to leave that flexibility to the implementer to do that.
Mm-hmm. Just a comment, because a lot of what we're discussing here, and this is Adolfo and Jill, if I understand correctly, what you desire is you have your controller, ONAP's already running, an instance of ONAP maybe running already. You want to plug in and now increase the functionality of that particular ONAP instance, right? That's a well-known problem. That's especially in the context of microservices. That's the service registration and service discovery problem. When I hear us talking about dealing with APIs and plugging into the MSB bus, we're still perhaps not taking into account the need for the ONAP as a platform to allow components to come and go, which is more than likely what's going to happen. You have to retire them without having to redeploy ONAP. So my suggestion is very specific to attack this problem, not just for controllers, not just for AA and I, but for any component within ONAP, that we start a discussion about service registration, service discovery, which, by the way, is a well-known functionality out there. Maybe the OEM folks are already tackling it. I think we should look at that as well, not only the discussion about the specific functionality of the controller in a future discussion.
I agree. Yep. This presentation is on defining the functionality, the APIs of a controller, so that we can plug in external representations of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the same would apply to every other component. I agree. And there does need to be
I have a suggestion, Gail. Hold on. Gail, I would say, in the interest of time, maybe you should remove all mention of the SDNC and AppC and define the scope of the external controller, which would be a collection of all the functions, whether it's AppC or SDNC or anything else, correct? Don't mention those functions.
Don't mention those functions. This is a functional I'm trying to define what is the controller by doing a functional decomposition of the controllers we have and then come up with that list. Right?
No, don't mention SDNC. Going back to Chris's point, you're bringing this external controller as a black box and you're plugging that into the platform, correct? You don't care whether there is an SDNC or AppC or VFC.
That's true for this slide, right? I mean, the whole point of this slide is that there really is no difference between an SDNC and a GNFC. They're basically the same thing. They do basically the same thing, right? You're saying let's ignore the difference between SDNC and GNFC, but then you're saying there are differences. Either we ignore them or we discuss them.
No, don't mention SDNC or AppC or VFC, because those are existing components of ONAP, and the scope of the functionality is pretty much non-overlapping. But for your generic network function controller, you want to really bring it as a black box, which can really implement the collection of all those functions, including AppC, SDNC, and more.
Except for assign. Can an external, so the question on this slide is, can an external controller perform the assign function?
Sure, why not? What if we wanted to have a super external controller that does SDNC plus AppC in one box?
If that component registers to provide that service,
right?
That service description is understood, yeah, by the right. whole.
I'm talking about the model.
No problem.
So, yep.
Yeah. So the plumbing. So we can get the plumbing to work. You're right. You can have anything register. There's no doubt, right? But if this external controller it manages a specific set of VNFs, right? It manages three VNFs. And let's say that's all it knows about, these three vendor VNFs, right? Now I want to build an ONAP service which includes those three VNFs plus another VNF. Right, so now I've got an ONAP service that manages four VNFs, three of which are managed by an external controller and one of which is managed by an ONAP internal controller. Who's going to do the assign function? The point of this slide is that we currently make the assumption that the same SDNC instance does the assign for all resources within a given service instance. if we keep that assumption, well, first off, is that a true assumption? Because that's what we're doing. That's been the assumption.
You're not
so far.
Showing that in your picture. Sorry. If you go back to the picture you showed,
what picture?
You didn't say the interaction between STNC and the external controller, did you?
It's independent.
It's independent. Yeah, it's independent.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not tied to STNC.
Then why you're mentioning STNC here?
Because STNC is the one that does the assign function today. We don't call it.
Then there is a dependency.
So the question is, so right now, let me just summarize this slide, right? So there's a lot of words on here. Right now, we do a service level assign. There is so all of the interactions between SO and all of ONAP and the controllers are at the resource level within a service concept, except for assign. There's a service level assign function, which has to be directed to a single controller instance for that entire service. Is it possible, and this is a question, right? So the last two dashed items in this slide say it is believed, right? Because I'm not really quite sure it's necessary to have a service level assign. I'm not sure it's necessary that the same SDNC instance do the assignments for all VNFs or network resources within a service instance. But that is the belief of many, that it is necessary that the same SDNC, that the same controller instance do the assignments for all VNFs within a service instance. If we maintain that restriction, then you could not have an external controller do assignments and allow us to build services in SDC, which include the VNFs managed by an external controller plus some other controller.
Hey, Gil, sorry I want to ask Dan a question. Hey, Dan, do you have any opinion on what's being discussed over here? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'd like to hear your opinion.
You know, in terms of the assignments, I don't know that that's that controversial. I think where I struggle a little bit is when we talk about the lifecycle management events. Mm-hmm. I liked the slide before where they distinguished between L0 through 3 functionality, and I like that term,
mm-hmm.
better than the term VNF. And what I mean by that is if a VNF's primary role is as, let's say, layer 2 router,
mm-hmm.
or layer 2 switch, that doesn't necessarily mean that it makes the most sense to have SDNC be the thing that spins up that layer 2 switch.
That's right.
Because you know, spinning up a VNF is spinning up a VNF. So spinning that up, it maybe makes sense to put into the GNFC, but SDNC should probably be in the chain for that lifecycle event so that it knows, okay, you're spinning up a switch, it's going to need a MAC address, let me get one for you.
Exactly.
That's okay. So I'm okay with that if that's our collective position, right? I've heard other people say that both generic NFC and the SDNC should support the same northbound API, and they should be built using the same CC SDK, and that they really are just two personas of the same thing. One that's optimized for layer 0 through 3 functionally, one for layer 4 plus, and that they would support the same APIs as each other, except for the assign function. And I think what I'm hearing is that no, that there are some, if you want to do a health check on a VNF, if you want to do lifecycle management on a VNF, it doesn't matter whether it's a layer 0 through 3 or a 4 plus, it's always a generic network function controller.
Hey, sorry, Gil. Hey, Dan, I don't want to go too deep into this discussion, but back to the point that you made earlier about who's responsible for spinning up the VNF, and let's assume that it's layer 2 switch, and how you decide whether you need a MAC address, IP address, or whatever the case may be. But let's assume it's a virtual MAC address. I'm assuming that would be part of orchestrating that switch, right? So the recipe basically would have to specify what the steps needed are to provision that switch, and how they get done would be based on the controller implementation for that specific device, whether it is virtual or, you know, let's assume that it is virtual, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to, in my mind, right, I'm thinking the controller should understand how to provision the virtual Mac on the switch based on a trigger that comes from somewhere, and that somewhere in this case would be an orchestration process or a workflow process that has a step that says, go orchestrate the switch and assign a virtual Mac, and oh, by the way, update the NAI so everybody knows about it, right?
Okay.
Hey, Shaka.
Go ahead, Parviz. This will be the final question. We really have to wrap this up.
Okay.
Shaka, when you say that the IP address or MAC address allocation should come from SO, did you say that?
No. I said it has to. There has to be a recipe that specifies the step-by-step process of how you would orchestrate a VNF, a virtual switch for that matter, right?
That's okay, but you mentioned something about IP address and MAC address. That I believe that is a functionality today is implemented in SDNC. Dan can clarify that.
Yeah, no, I fully understand that. Yeah, I mean, you dip into, in SDNC, you dip into the inventory, get the subnet and IP address, and you assign it, you update the NAI, right? But again, it's a specific implementation it's an implementation that is specific to the AT&T environment, right? You could, somebody could decide to do something, you know, slightly different way.
Okay, we're way over time, so I need to end this now. We've got 2 minutes left. Clearly, we need to keep talking about this. Gil, are you available to talk about it next week at the face-to-face?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Vancouver.
Okay, great. So let's put that on the agenda, and we can continue this discussion at the face-to-face. There will be no meeting next Tuesday because a number of people are traveling. But we will meet on Wednesday and continue this as well as the other topics.
Yeah, Chris, my update would be a part of the face-to-face then, yeah?
Yeah, we'll move you to next week as well, Parviz, and make sure you have plenty of time on that. And we'll have plenty of discussion time for these and other topics. The agenda is posted online. If people would like to sign up for taking ownership of specific topics, put your name on there or let me know. We'll see many of you next week. I'm looking forward to the discussion. And Gil, thanks for the presentation today. I think this was a really good discussion.
Yep. Thank you.
Sure. See you on see you in Canada. Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.